This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, March 1st.
The meeting was called to order.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Here.
Unexcused. I'm sorry. Excuse.
Howdy, everybody. We'd like to welcome you, of course, to the Student Assembly Meeting. Now is that time every week when I invite those of you who are non-voting members of the Student Assembly, i.e. the entire Cornell undergraduate community, to come forward and speak your mind on anything that's not on the agenda today. And if you have any such things, we invite you to come forward and talk about them now. All right, Joe, Austin, Mal, thanks for being here today. Appreciate it.
Before we get into announcements and reports, I'd like to remind everybody to, at all times when you're speaking, speak loudly into the microphone so we can record it. Then also, since we have such a full agenda, I'm going to be very strict with the speaking time today. So if when I tap once with the gavel, it means there are 30 seconds left in your speaking time, and twice it means 10 seconds, and then I'm just going to move on without saying anything. All right? Okay, so first we have a student aid lobbying trip announcement by Representative Levin.
So I sent an email out, I think it was last week. Just wanted to remind everyone, student aid lobbying trip is an annual trip that administrators from the Office of Financial Aid organize. It's still open, so please either see me or the directions are on the email. It's Wednesday, March 28th. I'm sorry, Tuesday, March 27th to Wednesday, March 28th. So it's during the week. I encourage you guys to attend. I'll be going to know some of our members are. Just give me some questions. Again, in that email, I'm going to respond with some information to the community.
Any questions or comments about that? All right, on to a UA update by Representative Duke and Representative Gaines.
If anyone is interested in coming, please let me know.
Is that draft available online?
No, because this is a draft. They said not to cite or publish any of it. So next week they'll issue the formal report, and that will tell us the information.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments? All right. On to a dining committee update by Parliamentary and Asbury Vice President Coombs.
The dining committee met this last Monday up at Hughes Dining for the first time. It worked out great. We had a really packed agenda. Since most of it was dining's voting member is Gary, I invited him to be able to give you all a little update on many of the initiatives. It was basically all you had to go ahead.
I'll make this really quick, but a lot of the things that we talked about or were campaign issues last year, we've discussed and somewhat resolved. A good one that I know came up earlier this year, which is meal equivalency, we've discussed it to death, and we had a really long meeting devoted entirely to it. I don't know if Dave and others brought it up last time. Basically, we understand dining costs now because basically they've replaced meal equivalency with Big Red Box, which used to be like $120, and now they're about $500. And we've asked dining if they want to complete a four-year cycle to evaluate and see how that went, and then we'll look at it again next year. In the meantime, the director has agreed to write a column in the Daily Sun, like a guest column, explaining the policy and saying, you know, all questions should be directed to her, but the dining committee is someone who examined it. This is what they've concluded so far. A couple of things that we talked about, we're looking at bringing plastic bag recycling to the a la carte dining locations. Nutritional information should be rolled out very shortly. We've also asked them to do something like for a la carte locations, the same way Subway has like 7,000 or 6 grams of fat, if they can do something like, you know, these are part of the healthier option at each station. They've agreed to that, and they've also agreed to take a walkthrough with us of all the dining halls first to all you care to eat. And then after that, the a la carte locations, like the executive chef can walk through with us, dining committee members, and ask if there's any recommendations of how we can make it better or healthier.
And actually, I'm going to jump in there. If anybody has any interest in doing that, then let me know, because I think it'll be an interesting time.
I just ask if anyone would like to join us on that walkthrough, please be more than welcome to start marking out. A couple of things we talked about, all your fruit and all you carry in dining halls, we agreed to make that better. We talked about why there are no bottled beverages available in Trillium versus Trillium Express. We resolved that, and we're looking to do a review next time. We're going to do a review of like student relations and the way that it's going to be management and labor and all that good stuff. So, am I leaving anything out?
There might be something. To settle this for good and all, the Cornell has recently redone its contract with Pepsi, for those of you who are Coke and other brand fans. I believe they're in the first year of a 7-year contract. So for the next 6 years, it is unchangeable. If anybody wants to vent on that, you may contact Colleen Wright Reva, the Dining Administrative Services Lady.
Kevin Lloyd said that they're the ones responsible for overseeing the Pepsi contract.
It was an absolutely full agenda. If anybody has any specific questions, you can go online or talk to me afterwards. We have quite the agenda for the rest of the semester too.
So one last thing is that about the coffee, they have agreed to look into extending open cafes hours later instead of the tower cafe in Europe. So hopefully we're going to get that open until at least midnight, if not 1, possibly 2. So that's one positive improvement. that one was Akhman, I believe, brought that up, Akhman Mark, in collaboration with him. He also brought up the late night coffee locations available, so they've agreed. Apparently, the building that I work in, New York, has like a coffee dispensing machine that, like, you know, drops out of the cup and, like, it makes like the coffee or, like, right there for you. And they've agreed to look into putting that into other buildings on central campus, so if, like, you know, you're studying your alumni and there's no fresh coffee available, that would be available to accept the Red Box. So they've also agreed to look into that.
Vice President Boxer with a question.
What's the difference between all you can eat and all you care to eat?
Political correctness, yeah.
I mean, should we have different dining halls?
Or no, all you can eat. Like, all you can eat is like a popular drink. It's a popular drink. It's a popular drink. It's not
Yeah.
It's a popular term that they use, I think from my understanding, we're in campus life basically, so that just better terminology, like we have PE terminology, just compete less.
Oh.
That's right.
Vice President, quickly, more questions?
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys could look into working with Statler Dining as well. I've run into a lot of complaints about Mac Cafe not accepting Big Red Bus after 2:30, and then Terrace, or Sriracha as we call it, not closing after 2. So I was wondering if you could look into working potentially with Statler Dining. I think Dean Lang, who's a former lecturer in the hotel school, is on your committee. If you could work with them and Dean Lang. Okay, she's not. And also Mr. 80 in the hotel school, I'd be happy to set up a meeting with that group.
They've actually, just to let you know, we looked into their max issues. We asked them why they don't accept the good bus after 2:30. When we were asking them to potentially accept the good bus at the whole business, because that's how Temple is using it.
Yeah.
Their idea is that they set up the big red bus system, like hotel school, it's their money, and Diners charges a 10%, about 10% fee to cover their administrative costs. And so they try to drive business to their, you know, to their higher volume places, like they lose all the money from either an open show, they said, but they try to drive volume here after 2:30 for Big Red Bus. So it's a policy that Diners put into effect to sort of ensure that their actual location that they own, they pay rent on, like making the cut, actually makes some money.
Yeah, and that's, like, to give you another example, as you talk about the Temple of Zeus, there was actually a bit of a movement a couple years ago to bring Temple of Zeus into the dining program. The dining administration approached the owners. They were uninterested. And that would also maybe lead to an increase in prices, et cetera. So Colleen Wright-Riva said that the only way that they would be interested in going back to request that they join would be if there was a large student-based movement, which... There was some Facebook group about it. I contacted the guy, and he's like, "I'm not actually that interested." So if there's, so like, you know, same thing with the hotel school. I think Matthew explained it really well. They try to drive business to these bigger places. But we would definitely, just talk to me or Matthew later about it.
I think the same way that Ryan had a request to potentially bring that facility to ILR. I think if you could come to our next meeting briefly and speak about it, that would be great. And maybe it would be something with hotel and dining to work on together.
Okay. On to an SASC announcement by Representative Early.
On a kind of different note, I don't usually find it important to bring up internal matters to the SAFC to the student assembly, but because it is regularly committee, I think that is something that is appropriate. And I just want everyone to be aware that the co-chair of the board did this past week or two actually suspend the commissioner for questionable ethical reasons. And none of it really means he's going to be public, if you have any questions, just sort of contact me, but I just thought it was important to let you know. So we think this is ultimately good for the commission.
Also, an announcement by Vice President Boxer.
Sorry, just on that note, to piggyback onto what Maddie started talking about, we have appeals next week. So, everyone, please refresh your memory of the President Treasury test. We went through this last semester with me asking all of you guys to take it, and I think it really was for the benefit of many of you who did. And I know that it came up a lot in terms of appeals. You could tell who was familiar with the SAC's bylaws and who wasn't based on questions that they were getting and votes that were being made. So we do have a pretty full docket. The Appropriations Committee is meeting on Monday, and we'll be hearing 3 hours worth of appeals, so that should be fun for us. And then that will get winnowed down a little bit by the time that it comes to us next week. But expect at least 5 or 6 appeals, I would say. And please, I'll send out an email, but please try to take the President and Treasurer's test if you have a chance. If anyone has any questions about that, let me know.
Announcement by Representative Self.
Yeah, I just more of a question to the chair as to how we might continue with this idea, but I was approached at least 5 or 6 times a week with students expressing serious concerns about the election. I know we have a very full agenda today, and I don't want to flood that down at all. So I was wondering if we could run until
what aspects?
Mostly the number of candidates and some problems with that. Just things that we might need to start to say about that. So not like a fully open discussion.
Okay. All right. Okay, were there any other announcements or reports? All right. I have a brief review of the student forum with President Skorton yesterday. Only saw about 5 SA members there, which is kind of disappointing. But it was a nice intimate setting. There were about 30 students, and everybody really enjoyed it. He's going to do another one, I think, in April, so look out for that. 30 people. Are there any questions or comments about that? All right. I want to do business of the day. First, we have a student list proposal, presentation and resolution by Representative Duke and Trustee Malian. Okay, speaker's list is now open. Vice President Holmes.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. I took a Chinese mythology class last semester. I was talking to the professor, who's actually, when I lived in Dixon freshman year, he was the faculty advisor because I lived next door to him, whatever. Like, I was talking to him about different things. Like, did you know that when a professor applies for tenure, they can actually put their own ratings from, like, ratemyprofessors.com in order to apply for tenure? And, like, he thought that was a silly idea. I think this is good because they kind of, and I think I actually mentioned like ratemyprofessors.com, yeah, and you're in the resolution. I think this is good because it makes it more not as laughable in a sense. Like it's much more concrete, Cornell based, and people know how this information is gathered. So I think it's a great idea.
The student assembly last semester had a really big initiative for sacredreview.com, and I was wondering if that was going to be incorporated in the university to keep that initiative strong and alive.
I think sacredreview review is part of it. The basic thing is that we can have some access to the data which has already existed. That's the point of doing the work. Because I will push very hard for the administration to release that part of data for us. That would be very valuable for us. But I really think big data review is also very important.
Problems there and as there?
I just do one point, as you guys know, and I absolutely support the resolution and all here. The only question I have is just as a plan, like some of you guys haven't attempted it yet. Say for example, like you guys get the things back and like the professors don't get, very few professors get 90% or 95% or something. Is there something in the time where like, you know, after the first time it happens, would you reevaluate it to, you know, change the numbers if necessary, or change the, I guess, how it's awarded if necessary, depending on, you know, how the first grade results go?
Yeah, I think that that's certainly something that we want to do. I mean, it's difficult for us to have any idea how many professors will have 90% versus 95%, especially since the information isn't released to us right now, which is, you know, one of the main things that we want to do is to actually have that information in some form or another. But I do think, and even in the first year, I think that, you know, this is the plan right now, but it's not necessarily set in stone, and the resolution doesn't include any of these details, so that we support the plan. Our draft of the plan will, you know, we hope will be the final product, but if things happen in the meantime that, say for instance, in our committee, you know, we have some interest, we have to use our federal members, or say we have a team, it's flexible in that sense. So, yeah, it's something that will be
working. Thank you.
Please, sir. Vice President Flicklin.
Call for acclamation.
It's been a call for acclamation.
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay, this resolution passes unanimously. Next we have Resolution 34, Resolution Regarding Emergency and Emergency Management Committee, by Secretary Alderi and Vice President Lickman.
Yeah.
Vice President Holmes. I think it's a pretty good idea. My only question was, I remember seeing something in the Sun after the events occurred. It said that President Scorton had already made, did they already form some kind of committee that, had they already made some kind of a change to this? And I don't know, maybe if Dean Hubble could speak to that. Sorry to just jump right in there, but I know after the last snow day, I remember seeing something in the Sun that the President Scorton had already formed a kind of committee that would respond to this thing in the future. Can you speak to that at all?
I know that
they formed a committee. Okay. Okay. So do you know anything about this? The administration is more looking back at Valentine's Day, figuring out how to, like, what to learn from that, and yours would be actually more proactive in the sense of.
Right.
Okay.
First of all, I don't understand why this is not business of the day if we're voting on it and we've never
discussed it. Because we put it there.
But, like, why? I mean, why aren't we voting? Why aren't we discussing and talking about this? Like, we're not having any snow days for the rest of the year. And on that note, we haven't had a snow day in like 15 years. So, six. I think that this is kind of like a moot point. I think that this is kind of silly. The decisions do get made at 3 o'clock in the morning. Susan Murphy went to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the next forum was up at like 6 a.m. that morning. I mean, these are administrative decisions. This is like, Cornell is not just about, you know, what like social class are you in. It's a huge industrial like network, and there's a lot of stuff going on when you close the university. And I mean, I agree with the sentiment that students should be involved, whatever. Obviously, we all want snow days. I grew up in New England. We love snow days. But, I mean, I just think that this is like, I think that we really need to evaluate exactly what kinds of things we really want to be going to the administration with in terms of things that we think are super important for undergrads to be involved with, and what kinds of things are obviously going to be handled on their level anyway, so it's not necessarily worth it for us to badger them with that.
Vice President Greenberg.
I disagree for all said reasons by Vice President Boxer. This is the fact that Emergency Management and Crisis Steering Committee implies that you're also going to be having a say in things like what to do if there's a terrorist attack, what to do if there's, you know, something along those lines as well. Sometimes some of the most important things are not best left up to democracy, especially the things that students know absolutely nothing about, like what goes into closing the school when there's inclement weather. I think that if you wanted to make undergraduate opinion known, you'd be best off to form an ad hoc committee of the ESA or something along those lines, presenting a report to the senior administration and letting them take it as well. I don't like the idea. I mean, right now, downtown in Ithaca, like, there's an emergency management crisis center in the headquarters of the Ithaca Fire Department, and they have trained professionals whose career is to specialize in these kinds of things. I don't like the idea of pulling this guy from the community and this guy from, I don't know, the Black Students Union, this guy from the ESA, like, doing the way that we do everything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are people who, this is their career, and they're the experts, and we should pretend like we know what's up.
But the experts weren't clear as to how to communicate the students at this university was close. I mean, how many people found out by email? How many people found out by sitting in the library? And then how many people found out by their friends doing the arts club? There's no set way of alerting them. There's a listserv and have to sign up for it.
Right, and that's the problem they seem to be addressing right now. By forming like a steering committee, about, again, emergency management crisis, President Scorton's going to see this resolution and he's going to say, pretty much what I just said, what do they know about that? Not much. If you want to, you know, focus specifically on how these kinds of things are communicated, well, target the resolution for the actual act of communication itself, not for, you know, any element of emergency or crisis.
Students, from the student's perspective, they understand what the best way is to notify people about emergencies and closures. So,
I mean, that's a fair point too, but that could be done, you know, via a collection of students taken together and pulled by the administration in a 20-minute session in your hall. An emergency management and crisis steering committee does not imply that that's what it's going to be doing at this time.
Representative Stanley.
I want to get
back to that. Actually, I was speaking about Ronnie.
Did you have any idea exactly like who was
the speaker? Put it on the speaker's list.
Wait.
Oh. No, sorry.
Go ahead. I'll refresh your time. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, do you have any idea who's going to be on the committee before? Would it just be on the committee? Yeah, basically, the idea, like, just to clarify, this is.
Gene. What's your last name?
Weinstein.
Okay.
I'm not sure that the university handled Valentine's Day as best I could. Probably not. Probably wasn't a mistake made. But it doesn't warrant the creation of such a committee. I think we should just look at what happened, what we did wrong, and when we get to do it. Far earlier in the morning, maybe insult or maybe employ more people, but this is not, these are not the type of decisions we can make. We simply don't know what we're doing. Especially if you can't just be asked during the stuff, so what do you think we should be done? We just don't know enough.
It's my hope that the executive vice president knows when to plow and salt. It's just, I don't think the executive vice president understands how to communicate to at the university of the world. There's no set way, there's no siren that goes off that they do my account. There's no listserv or something. There's no, there are like four or five different ways. We had to wait an hour before it was confirmed by the university and the calling. All we're doing here is recommending that the university forms this committee.
Second, is there any dissent? Yes, yes. Is there any dissent? Okay. We're going to do a hand vote. All in favor of calling the previous question, please raise your hands. I counted 14 yes, 1 no. All right. 14, so the previous question has been called by a vote count of 14 yeses and 1 no. You guys have I'll give you 30 seconds to make one last statement.
We're actually going to withdraw the resolution and
okay, well, they've just withdrawn the name, so there's no sponsors on the resolution. I gotta be honest, I'm not even sure how to handle this situation. So we're just going to move on to the next item on business of the day. On to resolution 35, resolution regarding snow removal. Volunteering Ad Gary and Representative Simmons.
Take into account some, those people who might not necessarily be together. 2 weeks after that. Yes, it's about the short part of it, but unfortunately, one of those people doesn't care about that. And so, like the back of the resolution, I'm just recommending that the problem is that I see it. I have some limited contact with the ground, but I try to speak as much as possible. The problem we have is that any of the buildings on campus, residence buildings, and you know, academic buildings, the facilities that oversee the building are responsible for just the walkers and the ground and the leading to the building. The residents are responsible for the facility and the slash ground department. The ground department is the one that has a little factor that is going on, and the government is called out the back and the pile of the front. Unfortunately, what happens is that the funding is cut, so the number of crew members has gone down.
Well, my first question was, why is this on Business of the Day? Because, I mean, even if this gets passed tonight, I don't know that you guys are going to the senior ground people tomorrow and getting those fire exits cleared, although I hope that they are. My question is, my second question really is, have you spoken to the ground people and the... I couldn't write it down, but you said the ground people and someone else is in charge of the snow cone. And I was just wondering if you had actually spoken to them. I know you mentioned like that there were budget cuts and stuff like that, which is kind of probably public information if you know about it. But if you actually had spoken to someone and found that there were supposed to be a certain amount of people at work that day who weren't there, or like that they have they been understaffed, or is this the normal amount of staffing that they usually do? Just sort of more of the internal working of the actual department.
Sure. Like I said, I did have some contact with them. I remember that I tried to reach out as much as possible, and they gave me some information because the student center really had no purview technically with the facilities or ground, which is why this resolution was almost in terms of recommendations. What I can say, in terms of what I did find out about that, is that how they work is they have a certain number of staff, and so if there's a certain number of snow that is excessive, then to take up that long to plow what they consider the higher priority areas versus the lower priority areas. And so the problem you encounter is that many of the walkways still weren't plowed because there was still on the priority list and they just weren't able to clear them in time given the current schedule they had set up with your ground employees.
But potentially aren't, I mean, they're hoping to get to all of the routes that they're planning on doing, right? Like, I guess I'm just wondering, I mean, and I think that maybe a little bit more time in this resolution might have been helpful in this situation, but I'm a little bit unclear as to what exactly, like, the whole, I understand what you're saying about a priority list or whatever, but, you know, was there a specific reason why they, I mean, do they not have enough people doing it? Is there anything that... we can do to help? Are there certain students who are supposed to be involved with something or other? Is there any, like, funding? I mean, I don't really understand, like, what, besides for just asking them to nicely, that to please plow more places because it would be beneficial and certainly not fire hazards in a lot of areas. I'm just not really clear on you know, I mean, I, like, this could be very well how they've done it forever. They have certain priorities, and that's it.
Vice President Greenberg.
Okay. The grounds and facilities management department, I would imagine, doesn't expect to have 3 feet of snow every night, all night through the winter. The planning that they have probably assumes there's going to be X amount of snowfall over X amount of weeks for X amount of months per year. The university has to keep them in place when there's too much snow piling up that it's unsafe for students to go to class and it's a snow day, and that's why we have one. It would be unwise of them to allocate more money for the situation that we had on Valentine's Day, because how often does that happen? Well, the last time something even similar happened was 6 years ago. Right now the issue at hand is, how are they going to communicate when the snow day actually occurs to the students? And that's the problem we need to address. It's not that snow removal wasn't necessarily enough. It's not that it wasn't necessarily being cloud fast enough. The bottom line is that when the snow is falling 3 to 4 inches an hour, it's just impossible to get enough manpower there to shovel walkways, unless the Cornell students grab shovels and help, and we all know they're not going to do that. So I think that we need to focus our solutions right now toward communication as opposed to telling the facilities department something that they probably already know very well. Again, these are professionals who've been doing this as their career, and I think it's, you know, a little bit pompous and arrogant of us perhaps to tell them how to do their job.
I guess what I agree with you is there are professionals, I mean, there are great people doing this wrong here, we're not criticizing them. But at the same time, it is our job as student representatives to represent the interests of the students. And I believe that Matt and I feel that this is the interest of the students to advocate for something like this. I mean, if you don't believe it is in the interest of the students to put manpower into plowing walkways, if you don't believe it is important to clear out walkways for, you know, students who are quote-unquote able versus disabled, that's fine. I mean, you should vote against the resolution if that's how you feel about it.
Motion to close, sir.
It's
my time.
I'm sorry?
It's my time.
Okay. Do we have, like, a
back and forth? Today, I just
motion
to call. Okay. Motion to call the question. Is there a second? Is there a second? Is there any dissent?
Yes.
Okay. Seeing none. The previous question has been called. Okay, you guys get 30 seconds for a last remark.
Well, I guess, like, I just, like, really urge you guys to pass that. This is not, I mean, this resolution is important for me and important for a lot of students. It's just a recommendation. It's a very good way of representing what the students' interests are. And I really urge you guys to vote for it and not just think that as a professional, we don't have the right to support it or how many recommend it.
Another thing to address, this is not just Sarah brought up, is that not getting this is common for graduates to do. They know what to do. It's common beyond the means to do so. And that's our recommendation to the seminar, to the administration, that they provide more means in such situations for them to be able to properly complete their job. One thing that's realized is a lot of these students, there are about 6,000 students in this on campus, this is where they live. They can't get where they live. And how they're supposed to go and how they're supposed to just only go to function.
Are there any members of the community that wish to speak on this matter? All right, clerk, please call the roll.
No.
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 Yes.
No.
By vote 6-10-1 abstention, the resolution fails.
Okay, on to discussion of safe park guidelines with Representative Lavin.
When I talk about...
Okay. All right, on to unfinished business. First, we have Resolution 24, Resolution Regarding Bulk Emails by Vice President Coons and Vice President Coons. Incorporated into the resolution when it was on new business.
No.
Then we can't vote on it today, but we can still discuss it.
Okay. Yeah, the only big changes were proposed email now would go to the communication committee for review recommendations. They have 3 days to look over it. The BPPR will come back in the next SAA report, but the committee's ruling on that one is going to be there as appropriations. Y'all will be able to consider it and then obviously make the final decision as to how to go. If the communications committee decided that yes, it did more than send it, then obviously if the SAA agreed, you could just let that decision stand. You disagree, you can vote. Two-thirds of the people stop it, and vice versa. I'll let
CJ take over if there's
questions.
Yeah, I think if you wanted to incorporate the communications committee in the same model that ASCOM does for our budget, I think it'd be good to give them something something additional to do so that they're making decisions right now. They're really just an advisory committee over email, and it's tough to incorporate some of their ideas.
Positive change. I'm glad you guys brought this back. My question is regarding Vice President Susan Murphy. Mark, you mentioned that in the past you contacted her, you know, regarding whether or not this is something that you would be favorable to, and you just mentioned you haven't gotten a response. Before we pass this, you know, she's not that interested. First, I'm curious if we can get a definitive answer about what she would do so that we don't pass this resolution. Okay. Have you done that?
Do you mean, what she would do?
I mean, like, is she willing to accept this resolution as it is, that once it goes through the communications committee, gets approved by the SA, a statement will be able to be sent out via mass email to the body, because ultimately it has to go through her, but this resolution is making a big assumption that she's willing to sign on to this plan. I want to make sure, before it has this plan, that she has actually signed on to this idea.
I can actually answer that. Right now, there's a system in place where any Cornell student can submit an email to Vice President Murphy for dissemination to the entire student body. It's part of a protocol that the administration has. where if you want to reach the entire student body, basically you go through vice presidency. So basically all this does is formalize a process for sending out an email on behalf of the SA to the entire student body. So, I mean, really, there's really nothing for her to approve or really, she wouldn't object to anything.
Just because in the past, you know, we've run into roadblocks with, we want to get something out there, but there's no way for us to communicate with everybody. I'm curious if, you know, that was the issue last week, or with the last draft of the resolution, you know, how we remedy that and how we remedy that if we have to.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is obviously like there will be contact made on that, and she does make the final decision. Because obviously, with the way this resolution is set up, if the SA approves the message, there's obviously the will of the SA and the communication committee to go ahead and send this out. She can still say no, but at that point, it was like the burden would be on her. She's actually going against the demonstrated will of the student assembly. So, I mean, technically, yeah, she can still say no, and there's really nothing we can do about that. But that would be like the burden falls kind of on her to explain why, after both the communication committee and the actual student body, representative of the student body, has looked at it and approved it, why she didn't think it was more than consenting.
Okay, we've never taken advantage of that in the past, because I know that, like, CJ, we've had some issues with sending things out to, you know, why we never gone, right? Just, like, I feel like we would have submitted something to Susan Murphy by now if it was that easy to be sent out to the student body. We haven't done that because she isn't very welcoming, apparently, of that kind of student. I'm curious, you know, have you run this by her? Would she be welcoming to something?
The issue of sending an email out to the university last semester, I really didn't think that there was an issue with needing the email sent out. This semester, Vince's bus program, Vince approached me about sending an email out, and I'm just resistant to it now, but we worked our way around that, and the email sent out anyway. So we really haven't had, I haven't had people pay yet. So.
Before I move on to the next speaker, I have one suggestion for you guys. It says any SA member who wishes to send an email basically has to submit it for approval to the communications committee. The president of the student assembly should be exempt from that rule. Okay, on to Vice President Boxer.
Call the question.
We're not voting on it today.
What, isn't it unfinished?
We're not voting on it today. Representative Harper.
I would like to point out some of the wording of the resolution. I think it would be better if we made the resolution more in the notion of approving a full email than approving reading an email approved by student members. So instead of like saying any anyone who wishes to send an email will require pre-approval, more just set up guidelines for how we send a full email, and then if that full email needs approval from student members, then we naturally have to do that. So instead of like quitting in like charter that we have to approach Vice President Student Services and Academic Affairs, instead we just put a general thing of what we need to do to get the full email out there.
What's your question?
I'm just giving suggestions of how we could reword it.
Actually, just addressing that comment. I think what they're saying is that if an SA member wants to submit emails to any administrator, then they have to go through communications. And there are guidelines where we can actually send an email out to other constituencies. Like, if we wanted for some reason to contact all faculty on behalf of the students, then that's a different person. So that does need to be in there. All right. No? Other questions?
We naturally have to go to the Vice President Susan Murphy just by the university's rules.
Okay. So, well, I'm saying we might have to approach a different administrator.
I think that's what he's saying, that let's make it a general rule.
Oh, okay, okay.
If we have to go to someone other than Susan Murphy,
okay.
we just
don't. Oh, okay. That's
more a way of just an email on behalf of Susan.
All right. Okay, the speaker's list is now empty. I'm just representing herself. Okay, we're moving on. Resolution, actually, what time is it? Resolution 28, resolution regarding executive committee duties by volunteering as Gary, Vice President Coombs, and Representative Salem.
Yeah, so it would be possession.
Yes.
So, like I said before, you know, we took kind of the position as actually a good job of updating it. Like I said, you know, I really look up to a lot of you guys, know who you are. I just wish this resolution, or this charter change,
I mean, just addressing that last point that Mark made, I was kind of disappointed when this resolution came back to see that it hadn't really specified. Like, we don't walk around as a group of five people. And so, you know, we just, as nice as it would be for the five of us just to walk around campus all day together holding hands, we don't. So, you know, I think it's too vague and it's too ambiguous, like, of five people to be asked, essentially maximum, each of the five individuals to be asked to take 4 hours individually to meet with four other individuals. Like, I just don't think that it makes sense. And I support the spirit of the resolution. I think it's really nice, but I have a hard time voting for things that I don't really think are feasibly going to be enacted in reality. Yeah, I made them last week. No, I suggested last week, actually, I did suggest specific things, like if you wanted the four other executive committee members besides the president, who's really busy, to maybe have each, like, have a specific mentee or something like that, or to specifically enumerate, like, if it's supposed to be that all four of them are supposed to be meeting in a group as new members, or what. I think that actually there were a lot of very definitive suggestions that were made last week addressing that exact point, not that.
I think it's just, you know, I'm
Vice President Flickman.
I wholeheartedly disagree with Vice President Boxer. I think that, you know, five of us, while we don't, you know, go out on Thursday nights together all the time, we still, you know, eat food, we still, you know, walk to class, we still have cell phones, we still have email. I don't think there's any excuse for why we can't, you know, talk to someone for, you know, the allotted time, you know, at their need. I mean, we don't have to set up an hour meeting in Starbucks every week, but, you know, we can be open to, you know, mentoring, and I think it's a great thing, so I need to call the question.
There's been a motion to call the previous question. A second, is there any dissent? Okay, seeing none, you guys have 30 seconds to make one last conclusion.
Yeah, I just quickly reiterate, I agree entirely with what TJ said. This both takes into account the needs of the new student representatives and also of the executive committee. It allows them to mold and shape the best suits their own times as well.
One of the just quick last ones to add to the presentation, through the special mandate for progress resolution, there's currently 17 voting as a resolution, including Kwame, 15 to pass. So please take that into consideration.
All right. Were there any community members that wish to speak? Okay, clerk, please call the roll.
Wait, can I ask you a question, a parliamentary question? If someone if someone abstains, does that go toward, like, do you still need 50 votes or whatever?
That is a good question. That's actually
15 yeses, no matter what.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, clerk, please call the roll.
I'm supposed to call Ben again.
No, you call them as we go.
Basil.
Yes.
Plastic.
Yes.
Student.
Yes.
Student.
Yes.
Crockett.
Yes.
Student.
Yes.
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 Greenberg?
Yes.
Hartman?
Yes.
Leonard?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Aiden?
He proxied, yes.
Hartman?
Yes. Self? Yes. Woodland? Yes. The resolution passes with a vote of 15 yeses to 1 abstention.
Two
extensions.
Have fun playing with the newbies next year.
CMTR.
All right,
at this point in time, we're going to move into executive session.
Wait, new business?
Executive session. So, all non-voting members of the SA, please leave the room. Thanks for coming.
What about all the professors?
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.